We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, are you ready for a new adventure this week? This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast right here in Brevard County, Florida. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we trust that you had a marvelous, marvelous day worshiping the Lord just yesterday. Pray that you heard a word from God that transformed the way that you think and the way that you act and the way that you serve and the way that you love. So thank you for tuning in. We're going to get into the Word of God. First of all, I want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. A week ago, we had a little bit of an issue, and it wasn't a major issue. Just our thermostat quit working for some reason. It said low batteries. We changed the batteries, and I tried working on it, and there was another guy there, and he tried working on it, and we couldn't get it to we couldn't get the batteries once we replaced them to come back on. And called Bill at Creative AC Solutions. He said, I'll be down in just a few minutes. Came in and have no idea what he did. He did the exact same things that we had done and got it to working. And then he said, you know, I can make an improvement on this. And he got it up and running, and our AC is running just fine. So if you have any problems with your AC unit, call Bill at Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. He will do a great job for you. So I want to get into the Word of God. And again, I want to say thank you to all of the emails that have come in and phone calls of encouraging and the notes. Thank you so much. If you if this program is a blessing to you and you just want to let us know, you know, an email doesn't cost anything. And so if you send that to us, you never know how much of an encouragement those things are. And if you'd like to partner with us, some people have sent in little donations, or not little donations, but they've sent in donations. And, you know, we'll bless you with one of our prayer mugs. If you'd like one of our prayer mugs without a donation, just contact us. We'll be more than glad to send one of those out to you. So let's get into the Word today. I'm believing that this may be our last week on the study of Joseph. We're in Genesis chapter 49, and going to begin reading today in verse number 29. Genesis, the 49th chapter, 29th verse, says, Then he, Jacob, charged them and said, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is there were purchased from the sons of Heth. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. So Jacob has finished blessing. There's only one last thing that he has to do. He gives a command to all of the children that he's had, and he says, this is what you are to do with my body. I'm getting ready to be gathered to my people. I'm getting ready to cross eternity's threshold, and here's what you are to do with my body. Now, When I start looking at stories in the scripture about people who have died, one of my favorite stories is that of Elisha, that when he had a sickness that was going to be his entryway into eternity. They took him and they buried him. And a little while later, there was a battle that broke out. There was a guy who was killed in the battle. The battle was so intense that they didn't have time to bury his body. So they just took his body and they threw it into Elisha's grave. And when they did, his body touched that of Elisha. And there was life that came back into this warrior's body. And he emerged from that grave. And so I want to have that kind of relationship with God, that kind of anointing, that the Word of God has penetrated into my bones, that even when my life is over, there's still a residual anointing that would touch people even when they're dead. I've got my Bible in front of me. This Bible has residual anointing in it that is beyond my lifespan, that people will be able to read it and they will be able to see what was God speaking to him at that point in time. I did a memorial service here a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things that I always ask the family is, you know, could I borrow their Bible? And this person had gotten saved later in life. They would have someone read the Bible to them, but they didn't really have a Bible that they read. So they weren't able to tell me what their favorite Bible verse is. But when you look at my Bibles, and I have almost every one of the Bibles that I have owned from the time that I have begun preaching until now, and all, you know, there's notes and arrows and brackets and said, this is good. And today I want to share something with you. I just wrote this in my Bible before coming to the radio station, and it's something that God spoke to me a couple of days ago, and I didn't want to forget it, so I wrote it down, and it has to do with this passage of Scripture. He said, Jacob said, I'm to be gathered to my people, bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. The cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place. You know, when God told Abram that he was to go to the promised land, he didn't tell him what the name of that land was going to be. He just said, go to the land that I'm going to show you. And Hebrews chapter 11 said that when he got there, he dwelt in that land by faith. He dwelt there in tents with Isaac and with Jacob, and they dwelt there by faith. But they had no possession. They had a promise, but they didn't have a possession until Sarah died. When Sarah died, Abraham went and negotiated a burial place for Sarah and for himself. And here's the thought that occurred to me the other day, and that is this, that the first place that Abraham could claim as a possession in the promised land was a grave. And you might not think much about that, but let me tell you this, that for you and I who are striving to get to heaven, we talk about the promised land as this new life that we have with Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that in order for us to begin to not just hear the promises, hear about the promises, not just to claim the promises, but to actually abide in the promised land, is that first of all, we've got to have ownership in a grave. You see, Jesus is the one that came and died. In fact, he borrowed a grave. He just said, I only need it for a few days. But if I can utilize that, and I want you to know that it is when we begin to appropriate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that all of a sudden now we have a claim to the spiritual promises that God has for us. There is a portion of Scripture, and I don't have the reference for you right now, but there's a time when the people of Israel, they were crying out and they were claiming the promises, but yet they were living in sin. They were not living in obedience to God. They were rejecting everything that he had to say. They were fighting him at every turn. And God's response was this: what right do you have to claim my promises on your lips? And I want you to know that through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are heirs with him. And so whenever we come to a time or a season like Jacob had here in this, where he knows that he's getting ready to experience earthly death. Death is simply a term that means separation. It means separation. It means separation of breath from lungs. It means separation of life from the body. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, Paul says. And so there may be a separation from us, but there's a hope. You see, whenever we come to a loved one's entrance into eternity, we will have a time of mourning. We'll talk about that probably more either at the end of this broadcast or on tomorrow's broadcast. We will have a time of mourning. There should be. We should have treasured that person's life and their input into our lives to such an extent that there should be a time of mourning because of the separation. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope, for Jesus holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. The grave, just like it was for Jesus, is not our final resting place. I like to say, for a Christian, the casket is equipped with a spiritual ejector seat. It's a spiritual launching pad. It might hold us for a day. It might hold our loved ones for a season, but it will not contain us. I have instructions in place for it, that if the Lord should tarry and I cross over from the land of the living to the land of eternal life, that I know exactly what I want done with my body. I want my body buried so that when the dead in Christ shall rise first, that my grave, my lifeless body, all of that will be still testifying to the goodness of God even after I'm gone. So I want to tell you today that there's a promised land, there's an inheritance in the promised land, and it is because someone said, you know what, I need a place. I need a place to dwell in this promised land. And Jacob, he says, there are some loved people, some important people who are buried in that particular burial place. Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, there. And there they buried Isaac and his wife, Rebecca. And there I buried Leah. If you will allow me just a moment, I want to talk to you just a bit about Leah, because Leah was not blessed with as an attractive appearance as what Rachel had, according to the physical descriptions. They talk about her eyes, but Rachel was beautiful to look upon, and Rachel was the one that Jacob fell in love with. And the truth of the matter was, Laban thought so little of his daughter's appearance and her desirability among men that he thought that the only way he was going to receive a dowry for her was if he deceived Jacob and married her off in Rachel's place. I don't know if you've ever been to that place where people didn't believe in you, but Leah had. Her father didn't love her. He had no hope of getting anything for her. She was a liability with no assets. And so that was why she ended up as Jacob's wife. And the problem was, Jacob woke up the next morning and there was Leah, and then he freaks out. And that's got to be great for Leah's self-esteem. Have you ever had people, just one after another, that assaulted your self-image, your self-esteem? Well, it began to take a toll upon Leah, and so she decided that she was going to pursue the path of productivity, that, you know, by then, sure, she would earn someone's love instead of them just being in love with her for who she was. And so she began to have children and Rachel began to have none. Leah, first of all, had Reuben, which means see a son. And that was just the pinnacle. I mean, that was a glorious thing. And she thought that would result in Jacob loving her, but it didn't. And then she had another son and named him Simeon. Surely God has heard of how miserable I am. And he's answered my cry and he's given me another son. If you are going through a difficult season or a miserable season, I want to assure you that God's heard you not because of how productive you are, but because of how much he loves you. He has his ear tuned to your voice. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. He's just looking for you. Would you cry out to him and say, God, would you turn my mourning into dancing? Would you turn my misery into joy? And so she has a third son, and that son is by the name of Levi. Just setting you up a little bit of background for this truth that I'm getting ready to share with you. And Levi means attached or relationship. It was the tribe of Levi was right in the center of the Jewish camp. When they set up camp at night, the Ark of the Covenant and the priests were at the center of the camp, and every other tribe was surrounding the tribe of Levi. It was the core. But when she named him, you see, Leah named her kids for the misery that she was going through, not the destiny that they were to have. But I'm so thankful that God has a destiny for us. And she said, surely my husband will become attached to me now because I have borne him three sons. But the truth of the matter was, there was nothing that was going on in Jacob's life that was going to cause him to love Leah more than he loved Rachel. Even Joseph was Rachel's firstborn son, and that became Jacob's favorite son. So even Leah's kids took a back seat to Rachel's kids. That's got to be hard on the self-esteem. And then Leah had a fourth son by the name of Judah. And Judah means praise. And this time she did not praise him because of what anybody else had done to her. Judah means praise. And Leah declared at that point in time, this time I'm not going to worry about what my dad thinks about me. I'm not going to worry about what Jacob thinks about me. I'm not going to worry about what Rachel thinks of me. This time I'm just going to start praising the Lord. And I want you to know that was a transformative moment in Leah's life where she no longer thought of others being the source of her pleasure and her joy. But this time she said, I have a relationship with God. I am walking as a blessed woman, and I'm just going to begin to praise the Lord. It completely changed Leah's temperament, her demeanor, the way that she talked about herself. And, I've had a couple of people that have told me about someone, and they said, you wouldn't believe how God has transformed their personality. They're so much more confident of themselves. There's so much more boldness in their walk right now. And that wasn't because of a son that was born. That was because of a transformed life. The power of a transformed life, knowing that you are right where God called you to be and that God is taking care of you, even if your parents didn't, even if your spouse didn't, even if your siblings didn't, even if your boss didn't, God is going to take care of you. You can praise God where you're. In fact, I challenge you, praise him before the circumstances change. Say, you know what? Even if they never come around to me, God has blessed me beyond what any other person could bless me. So there's this sibling rivalry. All the days of Rachel and Leah are alive. Rachel has a son finally by the name of Joseph. And then she named Joseph because she had not learned the secret of contentment. She said, may God add to me another son. I need more. And so she conceives another son, and she dies in childbirth. And she named the son Benoni, which means the son of my pain. I believe that's what it is. And but Jacob said, no, he's not going to be known about that. He's not going to be known as a source of pain. He's going to be known as Benjamin, the son of my right hand. And Rachel died, and she was buried by a tree. She did not partake in this grave that Abraham had bought for Sarah, and Isaac buried Rebekah there. But one day, Leah came to the end of her life, and Jacob buried her in the same tomb where Abraham and Sarah were, and where Isaac and Rebekah were. And Jacob says, bury me there. Bury me in the tomb of my fathers, and bury me there with Leah. And see, what I want to talk to you about is at that grave, it was finally there. Leah finally got her man. She had been trying to please Joseph and get him to love her. And Jacob could have said, hey, bury me next to where Rachel was buried by that tree. I know exactly what tree it is. You'll find it there. Bury me there. But instead, no, he said, I want you to bury me in that tomb in that promised land. It is the anchor. It is our foothold in the promised land. It is the seed. From there, the children of Israel are going to reach out. They're going to grow and increase, and they're going to take possession of the land out of a place that marks death. Leah got her man, and Jacob had issued his command. He said, that's where I'm going to be buried. You see, I want to encourage you today not to give up. No matter if anybody else believes in you or not, God believes in you. I believe in you. I believe that you will. If you don't get, you see, in Hebrews chapter 11, it said, these all died in faith, not having yet received the promise, because God had something better in store for them, that they along with us. And so if I have not received a blessing yet, that means that God has not ignored me. It means that he is preparing something even better. Maybe your boyfriend or your girlfriend just dumped you, but God's got something better. A lot of times because we have become attached, we say, well, I don't want better. I want that. And so I want to encourage you. You want better. I'll never forget a story that my son told me one time. He said, I was in a meeting, and we'd tried to tell the kids growing up, said, sometimes what you want, when you get it, you find out you really don't want it. And all of the kids, they would just argue, and they would say, that doesn't even make any sense. It's, you know, what do you mean? That which I want, I don't want. Paul said, the things that I want to do, those things I don't do, and those things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. Woe is me. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And so we told this all to our kids growing up, and my son comes home one day, and he said, you know, I was in this meeting, and all of a sudden I found these words coming out of my mouth. You know, sometimes the things that you want, you find out you don't really want. And then he said, that came straight from my dad's mouth. I remember hearing my dad say that. You know, don't you love it when, you know, even if it didn't click, the seed has been sown, and all of a sudden it's going to come to reality. So I want to encourage you, don't give up. God is preparing not only something that is better, he's preparing his best for you. Remember, he gave you his best when he gave you Jesus. Well, let's move on. And he said, the field and the cave that is there were purchased from the sons of Heth, verse 33. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into his bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. David said, I am not going to die until I have fulfilled God's purposes for my life in this generation. And I just want to encourage you, be on the pursuit to fulfill the purpose of God. Jesus said, I delight to do your will. I desire to do it. It is my joy. It is my privilege. And so Jacob finished commanding his sons. He had imparted to them all the wisdom. He had imparted to them his blessing. He had imparted to them his instructions as to what they were supposed to do next with him in this next season that they were going to be entering. He had fulfilled his purpose. He had fulfilled his mission. He had given all that he had. He was dying a transformed man. And I will tell you something else, just a little teaser for another broadcast down the road, is he had impacted another group of people as well. I'll point that out to you. He had finished his assignment. It says, and he drew his feet up into the bed, and he breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. He had finished commanding his sons. He drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. You know, death is a journey that we, for the most part, we take by ourselves. Except for the Christians, we have an escort. We have a Savior who is standing there just like he was for Stephen. Actually, you know, it says he is seated at the right hand of the Father. When you see the Stephen martyred in the book of Acts, Stephen says, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. He was welcoming. He was saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When we have asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life, he's the Lord of our life, not just now, not just when we're young, not just when we're healthy, not just when we're fruitful, but he is the Lord of our life for all of eternity. And Jacob breathed his last and was gathered to his people. You and I, it may be an unknown road to us, but it is not an unknown road to Jesus. And it is not a trip into isolation. It is a trip into community. Jacob, it said twice. It says in verse number 29, I am to be gathered to my people. And then it says, and he was gathered to his people. I am so thankful that there is a people who believe that Jesus Christ is worth everything. I'm thankful for a group of people who believe that this journey of faith that we're on, that there is no better journey. I'm thankful there's a great cloud of witnesses that is talked about that in Hebrews chapter 12 that surrounds us. I want to be here for the rapture, but if something happens and God's plan is different than my plan, I'm thankful that I'm going to be cheering people on even though they can't see me. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, when you're cheering for a football game, does it help? It says it does me. Even if the players can't see me, it helps me to know I'm part of a team. You are part of the body of Christ. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be